So welcome back for module number two. I hope that you had success with doing the exercise at the end of module number one. And if you are struggling with it, please reach out. So in module number one, we learned about our fundamental need to know we are worthy. We learned that our worthiness can either be derived from without or from within. We also discovered that the reason why most people turn to other people and things to gain their worthiness is out of their own self-consciousness and insecurity. And this leads to arrogance and weakness by being dependent on others for our most fundamental need. This is what creates failed leaders who are unable to act when they should, out of fear that they will fall out of favor. Hopefully, you have begun noticing how much of your emotional state is, in fact, affected by the people, things, and circumstances around you through the exercise that you've been doing. In this module, I want to show you how this fundamental need of worthiness is what drives the way we think, speak, and act. In other words, because this need is so fundamental, it affects almost everything about us. Imagine someone who is drowning. They desperately need one thing, and that is oxygen. Their desperation is so great that they will literally do anything to get oxygen. They cannot think or focus on anything else or anyone else. This is very understandable because their life is on the line, and in their desperation, they will do anything to save their life. And this is the reason why drowning victims can be very dangerous even to the very person who is trying to rescue them. Someone who is drowning will instinctively grab at anything and use it to push themselves up out of the water to get air. This means they will even push their rescuer down to get themselves up. Why? Not because they have anything against the rescuer. Not because they even want to hurt the rescuer. They are simply so desperate to save themselves that they become oblivious to anyone else, even those who are key to their survival. This is exactly what is happening within us. We drown when we don't have the emotional oxygen we need to function as vibrant, healthy individuals. This oxygen is the knowledge and awareness that we are acceptable and worthy. It's literally emotional oxygen for us. When we don't inherently know this, we are desperate to feel acceptable and worthy. And in our desperation, just like a drowning person, we will do almost anything, even to those we love, in order to get some type of confirmation that we are acceptable and worthy. And this becomes the driving force behind a life which is always seeking acceptance and worthiness from the world around them and the people around them. We end up living a life that is not so different from one who is drowning. It's living on the edge. Can you imagine the tragedy of someone going through the experience of drowning over a period of 80 years or 100 years? That's a prolonged experience of severe fright, desperation, and pain. So this will help us understand why we sometimes do or say things, even to the people we love most, which will sometimes seem so shocking to those around us, and actually sometimes shocks us as well, that we have behaved or said such something to someone who means so much to us. In our world of obsession with self-help, because that's the age we live in where everyone's into self-help, many of the self-help gurus are busy teaching us how to create the impression of being strong, confident, independent, and self-made. We need to know that putting on an act does not truly deal with our deeper challenges. Simply learning how to give a firm handshake and look someone in the eye doesn't truly give us confidence. They are good techniques for a temporary fix. We need to go to the core of what we are lacking and what we need. This has always been and remains one thing. And you already know what this is: knowing our inherent self-worth. As long as we're trying to gain approval from the world, we have not resolved our core issue. So let's recap. When we don't know that we are worthy and acceptable on our own, we are like someone who is drowning. We will do anything to get oxygen. We will do anything to feel worthy, even when it may hurt those around us whom we love. We will say and do hurtful things, not because we want to hurt the people, but because we are desperate to know that we are worthy. This explains the many unhealthy behaviors that we act out, as we will discuss shortly. I want to discuss, before we get into particular behaviors, I want to discuss a general behavior, which is hiding. The first way to begin getting our worthiness from within and not from without is by changing the behaviors we use to get our worthiness. By adopting behaviors that healthy people use, it automatically begins realigning our inner sense of worthiness. That's the great thing about it. So the approach we're going to take is not a mantra of telling ourselves, I am worthy, I am worthy. That's not going to do it. But what happens is, when we behave with behaviors that people who get their worthiness from within use, then slowly, automatically, we begin to feel an inner sense of worthiness. There's one classic tactic we subconsciously use to get our worthiness from others, and this is by hiding. We subconsciously think that if we hide a part of ourselves from others, they will then accept us and find us worthy. I like to present a few scenarios to you so you can really understand what I mean and how much we do this. And as I list all of these scenarios, think about this question. What is the one repeated intention being expressed in all of these scenarios that I'm going to share? While the circumstances may be very different, the essential intention of the person is the same. Okay, so here are a whole bunch of scenarios. I call my spouse and say I'll be home in 15 minutes when I know I won't be home for a half hour. I tell my friend what they did is fine when I'm really not fine with it at all. I said something to someone and they told me they are offended. I responded by saying, I can never say the right thing to you. I laugh at what a colleague says, even though I found it offensive. When someone asked me how much my shoes cost, I said a higher price so they should sound more expensive. I tell someone how much I loved their presentation, even though it bored me to death. I stand next to my luxury Bentley car for a few extra minutes before going into the wedding hall so people can see that it's my car. I drop names of important people I had meetings with in the past year. I get angry and yell at my spouse or friend who suggests the way I did something wasn't proper. All of these above examples are quite commonplace. Very often, we dismiss them as ways of diffusing situations or preventing situations from becoming a bigger issue or for the benefit of the other person. Yet, when we look a little closer, we can see how the person is doing something repeatedly in every one of these situations. This behavior is being repeated because it becomes a way of life. Without realizing it, this way of life is making it more and more difficult to be in a real, close, and intimate relationship. This behavior actually puts the person out of touch with their own selves as well. In all of these scenarios, the person is doing one thing. They're hiding. They are deliberately not showing their true selves. There's always a justification as to why, a silver lining benefit. Let's revisit each scenario with a brief explanation so you can see how in every one of these situations, what we're really doing is hiding. I call my spouse and say, I'll be home in 15 minutes when I know I won't be home for a half hour. By not speaking the truth as I know it, I'm clearly trying to hide from my wife. My hope is that she won't be upset with me, or in other words, I won't fall out of favor with her. So I hide. I tell my friend what they did is fine when I'm really not fine with it. I'm hiding my true feelings so my friend will accept me and I won't risk him being upset with me. I don't want to fall out of favor again. I said something to someone and they told me they are offended. I responded by saying, I can never say the right thing to you. What I'm doing is I'm making myself a victim. I'm turning the tables and making it about me. I can never say the right thing to you. And hiding from taking responsibility for hurtful words, I said. I laugh at what a colleague says, even though I found it offensive. I'm hiding my true feelings so my friend will accept me and I won't risk him being upset with me. When someone asks me how much my shoes cost, I set a higher price so they should sound more expensive. I deliberately hide the truth to make me look differently than reality to gain their approval. Hiding again. I tell someone how much I loved their presentation, even though it bored me to death. Again, I deliberately hide my true feelings and flatter them to gain their approval. I stand next to my luxury Bentley car for a few extra minutes before going into the wedding hall so people can see that it's my car. I'm deliberately hiding behind external value as opposed to genuine value with the hopes of buying people's respect. And I drop names of important people I had meetings with in the past. I'm hiding behind others to gain respect instead of building genuine respect based on who I am. I get angry and yell at my spouse or friend who suggests the way I did something wasn't proper. I'm hiding behind my anger and intimidation so I won't have to deal with the real issue. All of these examples are very commonplace. And in all of them, while they play out differently, in all of these scenarios, I am hiding my genuine self from the other in order to gain something. The price, though, that we pay when we hide is enormous. And this is what I want you to really capture here. Here's why. To have a real close and intimate relationship, we must simply show up. The more we show ourselves, the more available we are to the other. The more we hide, the less present we are to be in the relationship. We simply make ourselves available for the other person. We make ourselves unavailable for the other person to reach us when we hide. We make ourselves available to the other person when we show up. As hard as they might try, they cannot become close to us if we're too busy hiding. And this is the irony. We think that by hiding, the other person will like us more and this will sustain or even strengthen our relationship. The truth is that when we hide, it's impossible for us to become closer to the other person. The irony is that specifically by being ourselves, even when that doesn't look so good, we make it possible to maintain a close relationship. When I tell you that I'll be home in a half hour instead of saying 15 minutes, even though you may not be happy about it, I am showing up for you. You know that it's me here, not a facade, not someone who puts a spin on everything. If we're having a conversation and I tell you I have a different perspective instead of simply agreeing with you, you know that I'm really showing up in our relationship. I'm not just trying to fit in. When I don't use anger to shut down a conversation about something, maybe something that I did or that you're not happy about, and instead of hiding behind my anger, I listen to your dissatisfaction of the way I did something, again, I'm showing up. I'm saying, I'm listening to you. I hear you. I want to take responsibility for this. Either I can admit the way I did it wasn't the best, or I can listen to you and disagree. But using anger is just simply hiding. So hopefully you got a very good picture here of the very common behaviors that we so often use, which all have this common denominator of hiding. And the most fundamental problem with hiding is we cannot be close to someone when we don't show ourselves, when we are hiding. We're simply not present to be in the relationship. So we need to learn to stop hiding, which we're going to learn more and more as we continue on.